Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. We are nearing the conclusion of this book, but there's still a lot of adventure ahead. Acts 26, this is God's word. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time, I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme in my obsession against them. I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.' So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First, to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane."
"I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. They left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, "This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. As we've said before, in recent weeks, in fact, looking at the events here in Acts, the importance of your testimony as a Christian is absolutely vital. Paul, again, is invited to give a defense of himself against the charges that the Jews have placed. And the charges they placed against him were totally bogus. Often they couldn't even get their testimony to agree. This was a situation where a person is on trial and they're having a hard time coming up with what the crime is. His response in that is to focus on his relationship with Jesus Christ. A witness in court is supposed to tell what they know, not supposed to be hearsay, not supposed to be conjecture. Those things are supposed to be ruled out of order. Evidence from a witness is supposed to be what you know. And what Paul knows is who Jesus is. He knows what the scriptures say, and he references that. But as we've said before, the outline of a Christian testimony has three essential parts. My life before I knew Christ, how I came to know Christ, and how Christ has changed my life. Those three ingredients are essential. If you don't have those three ingredients in your life, you need to get saved. You need to be born again. Because you should know what your condition was before you knew Christ. Now, what if, like me, you came to faith at an early age? I cannot tell you of how I was delivered after 23 years of drug addiction. I used to work with organized crime, running gambling syndicates, and so, no, I don't have that kind of testimony. I've met people and known people who had that sort of testimony. That's not my story. Well, Pastor Wood, if you were saved in childhood, what can you possibly say about your life before Christ? Well, let me answer that question. What I realized the night that I was born again was that if I had died tonight, I would have gone to hell. I knew as a child that I was a sinner, and that because of my sin, I was unfit to be in the presence of a holy God. I knew that. Oh, come on, what had you done? That's what my father asked me subsequently when I was wanting to talk to him about being sure that I really was born again. He said, "Well, why wouldn't you go to heaven?" I said, "Because I've sinned." And he said, "Really? What have you done?" Now, he didn't ask that because he didn't think I was a sinner. He knew. He was my dad. But he wanted to be sure that I wasn't just repeating phrases I'd heard. He wanted to be sure that I understood that indeed I had sinned and deserved God's wrath. And so he asked me to enumerate some of the sorts of things that would keep me out of heaven. And I said, well, I've disobeyed you and Mom. Oh, Pastor Wood, everybody does that. Yes, we're all sinners. Yeah, but I mean, would you put that in the category with, you know, the really bad stuff? Read Romans 1. When the perversions and hideous evil is enumerated, we're going through the list and thinking, oh yeah, those people, oh, disobedient to parents. Oh, that's in the list too? Yes. Wow. Well, then I guess I'm guilty. Pastor Wood, I never disobeyed my parents. Lying is also on the list. Okay? So before I trusted Christ, I was a sinner. I didn't become a sinner by sinning. I sinned because I was a sinner. I was born that way. All of us are born that way. And so, my life before I knew Christ, I don't have to go into colorful details. I can simply tell you, I was a sinner and under God's wrath. Read the end of John chapter 3. Those who trust in him have received eternal life. Those who do not obey the Son, that's the synonym for believe in the Son, do not have life. They are under the wrath of God. Those are the two categories. Everybody is either trusting in Christ or on their way to hell. And the reason that all of us in our natural state are on the way to hell is because all of us have sinned. When we are confronted with the truth, our natural, unregenerate response is to say, no, thank you. When God reaches out in mercy, Jesus says, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. We don't run to the light. What did Adam and Eve do when they heard the sound of God walking in the garden? They ran and tried to hide themselves. They didn't run to him and say, oh, we have sinned. They tried to hide themselves. It doesn't work. You can't get away from God. So, my life before I knew Christ, how I met Christ, how Christ has changed my life. I repeat, if you can't share all three of those, you may be able to tell what your life was like before you met Christ, but you aren't sure that you've really come to know him, and therefore you cannot say how he's changed your life. I would say the same thing to you again. You need to be saved. And I have wonderful news for you. You can be saved. He is reaching out to you even now. Call upon the name of the Lord. Ask him to have mercy on you. Ask him to save you. He is ready to save. He will not turn aside anyone who comes to him seeking his mercy. So, the Christian testimony is essential, and that's what Paul gives when he's in court on trial for his life. He shares about what his life was like before he met Christ, how he met Christ, and how Christ has changed his life. That's the outline of what Paul shares here. That's what he wanted to share in court. Now, there were a lot of things, undoubtedly, that the Apostle Paul could have said. But he stuck with his testimony. Because this he knew. He knew it to be true. He was able to speak from firsthand experience. The central character in Paul's testimony was not Paul. The central character in a Christian testimony is Christ, the risen Christ. And Paul quickly makes it clear that what all this comes down to is whether or not you really believe that Jesus Christ has conquered death. Now, if you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, you obviously have included the idea that Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures. that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose again from the dead, according to the Scriptures. But that outline of the gospel, which we have at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, that outline of the gospel is also focused on one truth. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. If Jesus died on the cross and hadn't come back to life, we wouldn't be here today. If this was just a great teacher, you know, he said many wonderful things. I think we really should all learn to forgive one another and love one another. Well, not me. I mean, if Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead and then he didn't, I don't want to end up like him. I'm going to do whatever it takes in order to have things my way. But if Jesus Christ is alive, that changes everything. And so Paul quickly takes his testimony to that point. He says, it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I'm on trial today. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? Paul brings this into focus and talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. Now, Paul knew who he was speaking to. He knew that King Agrippa knew the Jewish customs and controversies, verse 3. And he takes the message on and talks about basically a call to repentance. He says, this is a truth that demands a response. And so as I travel and preach, I call people to repent. What does that mean? He says, repent and bring forth the fruit of repentance to show, prove their repentance by their deeds. That's verse 20. If you are trusting Christ, it will make a difference in the way you live. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect from now on. It does mean that you don't just continue to do the stuff you were doing before and feel good about it. Well, thank God, you know, now I'm forgiven. I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter because Jesus paid it all. No, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He doesn't just forgive us. He cleanses us from unrighteousness. We get free from our sin. And when we sin, it grieves us because it grieves him. So, as Paul is calling them to repentance, Festus interrupts. Now, this is supposed to be King Agrippa that Paul is speaking to. Festus is just hosting the party. But Festus interrupts, obviously uncomfortable because of what Paul is saying. And so I love this because we still see this argument used today. Okay? You're crazy. No evidence. Okay? It's not like Festus has some argument. Well, no, Paul, I think this because of this. No, it's just, I don't want to hear any more of this. You're crazy. He at least gives Paul a compliment. He says, it must be your education that made you crazy. Festus wasn't saying you're ignorant. He was saying, okay, I realize you're a scholar, but I just can't accept this and I don't want to hear any more. That's what he's saying. And there are a host of people who are going to respond that way. They cannot answer the evidence for the resurrection. They don't want to hear about the evidence for the resurrection. They don't want to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so they will call you crazy, even when, as Paul says, what I'm saying is true and reasonable. So Festus interrupts. Paul says, no, this is reasonable and true. And then he returns to his testimony. And he says something that is vital in verses 26 and 27. He says to King Agrippa that these things that happened concerning Jesus are not a secret. It's something that did not happen in a corner. You know about this, King Agrippa. Do you believe the prophets, he says? I know you do. You see, the things that happened to Jesus were the fulfillment of the prophecies. It's exactly what God said would happen. The rejection of Messiah, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the message of reconciliation being taken not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. This is exactly what the prophet said would happen. And so Paul now says, this demands a response. I know you know. I know you have the information. What are you going to do with it? And Agrippa knows where Paul has brought the argument. And he says to him, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Because he knows Paul is asking for a response. Paul is inviting Agrippa to put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. King Agrippa, who entered the room with all the pomp and circumstance, is now being invited to bow before the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. You are being invited to bow before the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. How will you respond? King Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. Process that for a moment. Paul is a prisoner. This man's the king. Paul's not envious. Paul says, I wish you could have what I have. You see, that's a Christian testimony. I've had the privilege over the years of knowing famous athletes, some amazing musicians, people who were amazingly successful in business. I don't envy any of them. I just want to be sure they know Jesus. Because nothing else matters. You've got a great family. This many kids, this many grandkids, this many great-grandkids. That's grand. That's great. But do you know Jesus? Everything else goes away. Everything else goes away. The gospel demands a response. These folks did not do very well. Then the king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. They left the room. And while talking with one another, they said, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. He could have been set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. They walked away thinking that they had freedom. They were still in chains. They were still in bondage. They were still controlled by self and the forces of darkness. Do you want to be free? Really free? Paul, who was in chains, was the most free person in the room. His chains were visible. His chains were temporary. Some of you have chains that are not visible, but they hold you. They hold you. Do you want to be free? Bow before the King of Kings. Ask him to have mercy on you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.